Lord, open our hearts and our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The reading today is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt and who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered and defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination, the priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My friends, let's pray. Gracious God, we do give thanks for this day. We give thanks for this opportunity to be here, to allow your living word to touch our hearts. And so may we be open to that word. May we hear with great joy all that you'd say to us. Words that love us, words that encourage us to be more than what we are now. Words that challenge us to grow, but help us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever gone to the store and brought the generic product? Many of us do. We do exactly that. We even go to the pharmacy and we say, hey, save a few bucks, get the generic kind, right? We go to the grocery store, we find the favorite versions of our food items, and we buy the generic. Even though I've never found a good generic for peanut butter, you know, I've looked, I've tried, this hadn't happened yet. Sometimes there really is no difference between the generic brand and the name brand. But of course, that hasn't always been true. You know, about 100 years ago, when food production moved from being made in the home to being mass-produced in factories, there were pressures that were on these large-scale manufacturings and marketing that prompted the merchants to resort to shortcuts. Let me read you what used to be put into our foods before it became government-regulated, before the Food and Drug Administration stepped in. Dairymen sold cream that was thickened with flour. The milk was watered down, so they would just thicken it up. A little flour, often to a diseased cow whose milk didn't look right, they would put chalk or plaster of Paris to make it a little whiter. Cash-hungry bakers found that they could get more dough for their dough by adding alum and sulfur of copper. Grocers, in order to stretch a limited sugar supply, would add sand with their sugar. Buying butter could be an exercise in futility. Merchants would sometimes put together a collection of calcium, gypsum, gelatin fat, and mashed potatoes and then pass that off as butter. Oleomargarine? Well, that was worse. It was distilled from hog fat. And then they used bleach and other unsavory substitutes to make it. Like I said, sometimes substitutes are not as good as the original. The Israelites had gotten into the habit of accepting substitutes for their God. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11, has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no other gods? But my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. Israel had accepted substitutes for their God. The verse that really caught my attention in our text this morning was Jeremiah 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Now, you guys know the Jerusalem area. You've seen it on the map. It is not a place where there is a lot of rainfall. I think there's even less there than there is here in New Braunfels, if you can believe it. Now, with a place without a lot of rainfall, you had to maximize the water you could get. And so you dug your wells pretty deep. The other thing that you did is what we used to do hundreds of years ago, and that was you had cisterns. You had a gutter system. You didn't have a gutter system because you wanted to protect the plants and the stuff around your house. No, you had that gutter system because you funneled the water. You took a great area that could catch the water, and you funneled it into a barrel, or in this case, into a cistern. Now, most of the cisterns in this day were dug up underneath the house, and so the water would run off the house and down into the cistern. Cistern water was never thought to be the best water. You always used the well water, but when the well went dry and there wasn't any water, you gave thanks to God that you had the cistern. Now, here is what the metaphor that God uses for us today, and that is, my people have chosen a cistern over a living fountain. What's better, the living fountain with fresh water or a cistern with dirty, stagnant water? I'm not sure which one you'd want to drink. I'm going to go with the fresh water. Now, it's interesting, he even adds this into it. And he says, this cistern is cracked. It can't even hold water. So what does that mean? Well, when you have a cracked cistern, well, some of it's going to go down into the ground. And as that happens, all these kind of nasty things are going to seep into the water. All right? And get this. If your outhouse isn't far out enough, what do you think gets into your water? And this is the way God is having us think this morning about what it is we would prefer, what we drink, over the living water that God wants to give us. God is accusing Israel of preferring stagnant, dirty, nasty water, water of a cistern. They would rather have that than the cool, refreshing water, a living water that really will supply them. Now, why would they do it? Why would they prefer stagnant water to fresh water? Why did they shift from trusting God to trusting their self over God? And maybe the question we need to ask today is, why do we trust in ourselves more than we trust in God? Why do we trust in our friends, our family, our current health, our influences, our power, our money, more than we trust God? Or maybe it's more than just that. Maybe what we do, without even realizing it, is that we create idols. Now, I want to say a word of warning here. And the word of warning is, we're a very judgmental people, whether we realize it or not. Even those of us who like to say, I don't judge. I promise you, you do. You just don't know you're doing it. What we do is we hear this story and we think to ourselves, you know what? Those Israelites, they are so silly. They're always messing up. They're always leaving God. They deserve this. They deserve to drink stagnant, nasty water. All right? And we say that. But friends, I'm here to tell you right now, these people, the Israelites, this is us. This is what we do. And we do it often. The other way to state this is that what they're trying to do is they're making idols. They make false gods. And what is a false god? A false god is anything other than God who takes our time and attention, who takes us away from God. And we do it. Many times we let our work take the place of God. We don't put it in its proper perspective. We become servants and slaves to our job when we have only been asked to be a slave to Jesus Christ. Okay? Sometimes that happens with us in our family. Even things that we would say were good. Because what happens is very simple. They didn't wake up one day, the Hebrew people, and say, you know what, I think we're going to start serving idols now. That's not how that happened. It was a gradual thing. And what happened was they put an emphasis on religion. Now hear me when I say this, because I really don't want to totally badmouth religion. I think religion has its place. Religion is important. One writer put it that religion is humanity's effort to lift ourselves up towards God. And that's not a bad thing. We want to get closer to God. We want to learn more about God. Christianity is God reaching down to humanity. Okay? Religion is not perfect because it's us trying to reach up. Christianity is because it's God reaching down. What we have to be careful of is that sometimes our religion becomes our idol. Okay? Sometimes the religion becomes more important than the relationship. Because Christianity is all about the relationship. How is your relationship with Jesus Christ? We actually talked about that last week. Okay? Relationship is what is important. The other one, what we end up doing is we end up saying, you know what? I like idols. Because idols don't demand anything from me because I control the idol. I'm the one who made the idol. And if the idol becomes too demanding, guess what? I'm going to change the idol. I have the power. And we do it to our own destruction. But see, that's the problem with the living God. Because the living God may actually make demands of us, may actually want to shape us and change us and control us. And you know what? That means there's pain. That means there's sacrifice. That means there's effort. That means there's discipleship. It means there's a lot of words that we don't really want to talk about. Because I would rather control God than be controlled by God. My friends, let's submit ourselves to God's will completely and fully. Let's understand that it's not about religion, it's about relationship. There's a story of a son. It was his birthday. His dad came to him and said, "Son, I want you to know something. I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of the young man that you're growing up to be. I look at you and I just see all the things that you've, the way you've progressed, the things you can now do and that you couldn't do, and how you just keep learning and growing." He said, "You know what? This is your special day. This is your birthday. What do you want to do on your birthday? You want to go kick the soccer ball together? You want to play catch, a little football? What do you want to do?" And the son said, "Dad, I don't care what we do as long as we do it together." My friends, that's God. God saying to us, "I don't care what we do as long as we do it together." As long as we grow together in our relationship. And we do that through coming together and worshiping and being inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Feeling God move in us. Challenging our thoughts. Challenging our hearts. Challenging our actions. We do it by going to small groups and studying the Bible together. And we're about to enter on September the 15th as a church. We're going to go into this thing called The Story, 31 weeks in which we're going to start new small groups, and some of our older small groups are going to be challenged to really focus on the Bible and studying the Bible. This is a wonderful thing. Amazing things happen when we get challenged by the living Word of God. I want to encourage you to get involved in this. I'm going to encourage you to sign up. I'll even make a deal with you, okay? Here's the deal that I will make with you. If the only thing you'll do on Sunday morning is that you'll give God 1 hour, I want to challenge that. Instead of saying take that hour and come to worship like you have been doing, but you keep going home exactly the same, why don't you, instead of coming to worship, you have my permission to just go to Sunday school. If you'll go to the story, if you'll really study God's Word. You take me up on that challenge? Now some of you are looking like, some of you just said, he just said, I don't have to come to worship. That's not what I said. I said, if all you'll give is an hour, why don't you try something different with it? You've been doing the worship thing. Let's try a small group thing where we study the Bible with some intentionality. See if that makes a difference for your life. My friends, we've got to get back. We've got to say, you know what? I'm not God. I am made in God's image. God is the creator. And I'm tired of stagnant water. I'm tired of dirty, filthy water that doesn't do anything for me. I need the living water that only God can provide. And what does Jesus call himself in the New Testament? I am the living water. Those who drink will never be thirsty. My friends, accept no substitute. Go and have a real, authentic relationship with the living God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.